Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Really excited about today's topic.
Me too.
We are plunging into the really fascinating world of herbal teas and actually a surprising detour into something called purple tea.
Yes, based on those great sources you shared.
Exactly. So our mission today is to get you, our listener, quickly up to speed on these, well, these diverse infusions. We're talking unique flavors, potential health benefits, which are pretty impressive, and, you know, how to actually brew them right.
Yeah, get the most out of them.
We definitely had some aha moments digging through the material, some unexpected facts in there.
Absolutely.
So let's kick this off. When we say herbal tea, what exactly are we talking about? Because I think it gets confused with, you know, regular black or green tea sometimes. How's it different?
Oh, that's the perfect place to start. It's a really key distinction. So herbal tea, sometimes you'll hear it called a tisane.
Mm.
It's basically an infusion.
An infusion, okay.
Yeah, made from steeping different parts of plants. Could be herbs, spices, flowers, maybe fruit and hot water. But here's the crucial part. They don't contain any leaves from the actual tea plant. Camellia sinensis.
Oh, okay. So that's where black tea, green tea, all those come from.
Exactly. Your true teas all come from that one plant. Herbal teas are from everything else. And this leads to another big point.
Hmm.
Most herbal teas are naturally caffeine-free.
Right, which is a huge plus for a lot of people, I imagine. No late-night jitters.
Definitely. Makes them great any time of day. So it's not technically tea in that traditional sense.
Okay, that's a really important clarification. Does that often surprise people, that lack of caffeine or the different plant source?
It often does, yeah.
Mm.
People hear tea and think caffeine. But once you make that distinction, you can really start to appreciate them for what they are, which is often, well, much more than just a tasty drink.
More than a drink. How so?
Well, the sources you sent highlighted a whole range of general health benefits. Many are packed with antioxidants.
Which help protect our cells, right, from damage.
Precisely. Free radical damage. Then there's digestive support. Think peppermint, ginger, chamomile. Really good for soothing discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
Many offer calming, relaxing properties. Chamomile again, lavender, lemon balm, great for stress, winding down, maybe helping with sleep.
Okay.
And some can even give your immune system a bit of a boost, like echinacea or elderberry.
Wow. Okay. So it really is kind of a wellness powerhouse hiding in a mug.
That's a good way to put it.
And this is where, looking through the sources, it got really interesting. The sheer variety mentioned was incredible.
Oh, absolutely. The diversity is huge. Each one has its own unique sort of fingerprint, its own flavor profile and benefits. We should definitely walk through some of the top ones from the sources.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. First up, chamomile tea. Everyone knows it's calming, right?
Yeah.
Delicate, slightly apple-like flavor.
It's a classic steepy time too.
Exactly. But the sources pointed to why it's got this antioxidant apigenin. It seems to bind to brain receptors in a way that helps reduce anxiety, almost like a very, very mild tranquilizer.
Huh. That's fascinating. So there's actual science behind that calming feeling.
There is. Then peppermint tea. Super refreshing, that minty blast. Great for digestion, we know that.
Bloating, gas, that sort of thing.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
But the sources emphasized its anti-spasmodic quality, that menthol actually helps relax the smooth muscles in your digestive tract.
Oh, interesting. So it's not just masking symptoms, it's physically relaxing things.
That seems to be the mechanism, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also why it can sometimes help with tension headaches.
Makes sense. What's next?
How about rooibos tea? Also called red bush tea. It's got this naturally sweet, nutty, kind of earthy flavor.
I like rooibos. It's very smooth.
It is. And it's packed with some really specific, powerful antioxidants, espalathan and nothafagin. You don't find them in many other places. These are thought to really contribute to its benefits for the immune system, heart health, even skin health. And worth repeating, totally caffeine-free.
Right. Another anytime kind of tea. It's amazing how specific these compounds can be. Is that uniqueness what gives rooibos its particular edge, do you think?
I think so, yeah. That unique chemistry definitely sets it apart. Okay, moving on. Hibiscus tea. Bright red, tart, almost cranberry-like flavor.
Very tangy. I've had that iced. It's really refreshing.
It is. It's high in vitamin C, great for the immune system. But the sources specifically mentioned its potential to help lower blood pressure.
Really? How does that work?
Apparently, it might inhibit an enzyme involved in blood pressure regulation, the angiotensin-converting enzyme, or ACE. So it supports cardiovascular health that way.
Wow. Okay, that's quite specific.
Then there's ginger tea. Warm, spicy, that definite ginger kick.
A classic for upset stomachs.
Absolutely. Nausea, indigestion, bloating. It's famous for that. But it also has gingerols and shojels compounds that are strongly anti-inflammatory and antioxidant.
So maybe good for more than just digestion, like muscle soreness.
Potentially, yes. The anti-inflammatory aspect could certainly help with things like post-exercise muscle pain.
Interesting. I might need to try that. What about something maybe gentler?
Okay, how about lavender tea? Very floral, slightly sweet, known for relaxation.
Definitely smells relaxing.
It does. The sources pointed to its direct impact on the nervous system.
Yeah.
Good for stress, anxiety, helping promote sleep, maybe even easing headaches.
Nice.
And lemon balm tea. This one's milder, lemony with a tiny hint of mint. Also calming, good for mood. But interestingly, the sources suggested it might also enhance cognitive function.
Like memory or focus?
Exactly. Memory and concentration. Okay. So more than just relaxation there.
Okay. Keep going. This is great.
Almost there. Rosehip tea, tangy, fruity, a bit sweet. It's loaded with vitamin C.
Good for immunity then, and skin.
Yes, definitely good for both.
Yeah.
And the sources also highlighted its anti-inflammatory properties, particularly for supporting joint health.
Joint health, okay.
Then echinacea tea. Mm-hmm. Earthy, maybe a little sweet and floral. People often take this when they feel a cold coming on, right?
Yeah, to boost the immune system.
Right. Used to shorten colds or flu. But it also has anti-inflammatory benefits, especially noted for respiratory issues in the sources. And finally, dandelion tea. This one can be a bit more bitter, definitely earthy.
Dandelion, like the weed.
Exactly. But it's known for detoxifying properties, mm-hmm. particularly supporting the liver and digestion. Mm-hmm. It also acts as a natural diuretic.
So good for kidney health, maybe water retention?
Precisely.
Man, what an incredible lineup. Seriously, from calming nerves to helping joints to, you know, boosting immunity. It seems like there's an herbal tea for almost anything.
It really does feel that way.
But as we were saying, our sources threw us a curveball, something called purple tea. Now, this one stood out. What's the story here? How does it fit in?
Yes, purple tea. It's quite distinct.
Yeah.
Visually, for one, it has this amazing natural purple color. But health-wise, it's a real powerhouse, even compared to other teas.
Okay. Why? What makes it so special?
It boils down to exceptionally high levels of specific antioxidants.
Yeah.
Primarily these things called anthocyanins.
The anthocyanins, those are pigments, right? Like in blueberries.
Exactly. They give it that vibrant color. And they are incredibly effective at fighting oxidative stress and inflammation in the body. Plus, it's rich in other polyphenols too.
More antioxidants.
Yes, boosting that overall capacity to neutralize free radicals. This potentially lowers the risk of various chronic diseases. The sources mention things like cancer, diabetes, neurodegenerative diseases.
So it's not just the color, it's those specific compounds doing the heavy lifting.
That's the key takeaway, yes.
Yeah.
And it doesn't stop there. Purple tea seems to offer major support for heart health.
How so?
Well, the polyphenols might help inhibit cholesterol absorption. And those anthocyanins we mentioned. They seem to support healthy blood pressure levels by improving how well blood vessels function.
Is that significant?
But here's where it gets really interesting and where it diverges sharply from the herbal teas we just discussed. Weight management.
Weight management? How? I thought these were mostly caffeine-free.
Uh-huh. That's the twist. Unlike almost all those other herbal infusions, purple tea actually does contain caffeine.
Oh, okay. That is different.
It is. And it also contains catechins, similar to green tea. This combination, the catechins and the caffeine, seems to boost thermogenesis.
Thermogenesis. That's the body burning calories to create heat.
Exactly. So it can potentially increase calorie expenditure and fat burning.
Right.
Encouraging your body to use stored fat for energy.
Wow. Okay, so that caffeine content really puts it in a slightly different category than, say, chamomile or peppermint.
Absolutely. It bridges the gap in a way. Beyond weight management, it also seems to have some impressive anti-aging properties.
For skin, you mean?
Primarily, yes, those antioxidants. Again, fighting the free radical damage that causes wrinkles, age spots. And they might help protect collagen and elastin.
Which keeps skin firm.
Right. Yeah. Vitality and elasticity. Then there's digestive health. It seems to support a healthy gut microbiome, reducing inflammation, promoting good bacteria. The catechins might also aid digestion directly. Mm. And lastly, the sources pointed to benefits for mental health and cognitive function. Neuroprotection, guarding brain cells against damage, maybe lowering the risk of diseases like Alzheimer's or Parkinson's.
And enhancing things like memory.
Memory and concentration, yes. Again, likely thanks to those powerful antioxidants.
It's genuinely impressive, the sheer breadth of potential benefits for purple tea, from heart to brain to skin. Remarkable. Did the sources say how much you need to drink to see these effects? Is it like one cup now and then.
Generally, the sources suggest that consistent, regular consumption is key, especially for the more significant benefits like cardiovascular health or cognitive function. It's more about making it part of a regular, healthy routine rather than just an occasional thing.
Got it. Consistency matters. Okay, yeah. So with all these amazing options, herbal teas, this unique purple tea, people are probably wondering, okay, how do I brew this stuff properly? You don't want to mess it up and lose the flavor or the benefits. The sources had some good tips, right?
They did, yeah. Mm. Some practical advice. First off, water temperature. It's actually quite important. You bring the water to a boil, but then this is key for most herbals. Let it cool down just a little bit.
Not pour boiling water straight on?
Generally, no. Aim for around 190 degrees Fahrenheit or maybe 88 Celsius, just slightly off the boil. This helps avoid scorching the delicate leaves or flowers.
Okay, good tip. What about how long to let it steep?
The general guidance was around 5 to 7 minutes. That usually gives enough time to extract the flavors and those beneficial compounds we've been talking about.
But you could adjust that, like if you want it stronger or weaker?
Oh, absolutely. Play around with it, see what you like best. Same goes for the tea to water ratio. A good starting point is 1 to 2 teaspoons of loose tea per, say, 8 ounces of water.
Okay.
But again, adjust to your taste. More tea for stronger, less for milder. And then, you know, enjoy it. Hot or iced works great for most. Plain is lovely. Or you could add a little honey, maybe a squeeze of lemon to enhance the flavors.
Fantastic. So we've really covered a lot of ground here. We started by defining herbal teas, those caffeine-free teasins, separating them from true teas.
Mm-hmm.
Then we explored this amazing gallery of types, chamomile, peppermint, ginger, rooibos, all the way to dandelion.
Yeah, quite the range.
And then we took that fascinating detour into purple tea with its unique anthocyanins and, crucially, that caffeine content setting it apart.
A really interesting one.
It just highlights the incredible spectrum of flavors and potential wellness benefits available from these simple plant infusions.
It really does. And if you connect this to the bigger picture, it's kind of amazing, isn't it? How these completely natural drinks offer such simple yet, well, profound ways to support your well-being.
Yeah.
Whether you're looking for relaxation or help with digestion or immune support, or maybe even that cognitive edge with something like lemon balm or purple tea, it's like nature's accessible toolkit.
That's a great way to think about it, a toolkit. So maybe a final thought for everyone listening. Next time you brew a cup of tea, maybe don't just think of it as a hot drink. Consider it more like a personal journey into nature's remedies, a small, quiet act of self-care, maybe even exploration.
Like that.
What surprising blend might you try next? And, you know, what unique benefit are you hoping to discover?